Well, it's definitely true today that most Muslims are not terrorists. It's also definitely true that most terrorists are Muslims.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why won't our president refer to radical Islam? Why would Hillary Clinton refuse to speak of radical Islam when asked about it directly in the presidential debate? Why is it we cannot acknowledge the murderous, violent, evil nature of radical Islam even while we debate, is radical Islam true Islam? Is radical Islam the only Islam? Is radical Islam a perversion of Islam? Why can't we at least identify radical Islam for what it is while debating the other issues? This is Michael Brown. I've been eagerly waiting this time together after the horrifically painful events of the last few days for the people of France. There's a whole lot to talk about. We're going to sort out lots of issues. And I've got a bunch of questions for you as well. 866-348-7884. If you are a practicing Muslim, if you are a devout Muslim, if you uphold the five pillars of Islam, you can tell me, of course, what those five pillars are. If you fast during Ramadan, if you pray five times daily, if you've made the Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca as a man, or if you intend to do that, if you are a committed Muslim listening, what do you think of the acts of ISIS? What do you think of groups like Al-Qaeda and Taliban and Boko Haram and other radical Islamic groups? Are they true to the faith? Are they doing what Muslims everywhere should do? They should be applauded for it? Or is this a perversion of the religion that has nothing to do with Islam? It's a question I want to ask. If you are a former Muslim and now a follower of Jesus, what is your perspective on this? And why is it, these are questions I'm just putting out for discussion, why is it that our president, commander-in-chief of our armed forces, will not speak of radical Islam and just speaks of terrorism or even extremism? And listen, it's not a far cry to go from charges of extremism in general to those that hold to biblically based religious views that are peace-loving, God-fearing people, to call them extremists. And what about the refugee crisis? What should America do? What should Christians do? I was ministering in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and the church where I was ministering has recently sponsored two Syrian refugee families, Muslim families, and the first one's been here a number of months, and Christians are reaching out to them, spending many, many hours with them, not targeting them for conversion, but doing what Christians do, loving on them so they can know who Jesus really is. And they're seeing tremendous fruit. They're seeing tremendous openness to the gospel. And it's their acts of love and kindness and compassion that are making a difference. Should America just practice hospitality, practice love? Maybe Christians lead the way in sponsoring refugees. Is that the best approach? Or do we need to close our borders? Because for every 10 or 15 or 20 or 50 or 100 refugees that we get who are fleeing from Islamic terrorism, we might have two or three or five or eight or one who is coming in to bring terrorism. If you knew that out of every 100 refugees that came in, one would be a terrorist. And if you admit 1,000, that means you've just admitted, 10 terrorists? If you admit 10,000, you've admitted 100 terrorists and so on. Is that what you want to do? What's the wisdom? What's the right solution to this? Questions we need to discuss. And what does the Quran really say? Surah 5, verse 32, chapter 5, verse 32. It is an oft-quoted verse from the Quran, but it is misquoted perpetually. And that's remarkable. If the one verse you're going to quote from the Quran to talk about being peace-loving and so on, you have to misquote and take out of context, what does that tell you? 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are open, and I've got a whole lot to talk to you about today. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The most extreme form of mischief, of course, is launching a military attack against a Muslim community. That's definitely a death penalty. Now, according to Islamic teachings, not according to your opinion, according to Islamic teachings, has France made any mischief in Muslim countries? Yes, a lot. And according to Surah 5, verse 33, what's the penalty for the actions of the French military? Because of what the French military has done in Muslim lands? Death.
That is Christian apologist David Wood, his website, answeringmuslims.com. Acts 17 is his Twitter feed, at Acts 17. What about the Quran teaching peace? What about the Quran saying, if you save one life, it's as if you saved the entire world? Isn't that what the Quran teaches, after all, in chapter 5? Isn't that what is practiced by Muslims worldwide? Isn't that something that we should hold to? Actually, this is a verse taken out of context in the Quran. This is Michael Brown. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me put out a few questions for you. Is radical Islam real Islam? Is radical, murderous, violent, terrorist Islam the real and true expression of Islam, or is that a perversion of Islam? Maybe you're a Muslim listening. Maybe you're a former Muslim. Maybe you've studied these issues. I'd like to hear from you. Why won't our government, why won't our president refer to radical Islam? Now, look, if you can't name your enemy, how are you going to defeat your enemy? If you can't name your enemy, how are you going to identify your enemy? If you can't recognize the source of your enemy's ideology, how are you going to combat your enemy? Why won't our president speak about radical Islam? I mean, it's a clear refusal to do so, or to talk about Islamic terrorists. Why won't he do that? Well, you have the same equivalent with Christianity. You have Christian terrorists, and they're not really Christians. Okay, tell me all the Christian terrorist groups. Tell me the Christian equivalents to ISIS, to Al-Qaeda, to the Taliban, to Boko Haram, to Hamas, to Hezbollah, and on the list goes. Please tell me the Christian equivalents to all of these. We'll get into this. We'll expand on this more in a moment. What about the refugees? How should we deal with the crisis of people legitimately fleeing terror when we are reasonably sure that among those fleeing terror are also terrorists wanting to bring terror to our shores, to our places of business, to our movie theaters, to our schools? Nothing is off limits to radical Islamic terror. 866-34-TRUTH. So what about this famous verse in the Quran that says, whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or for corruption, in other words, if you take a life, unless that person's taken a life or there's some type of corruption done in the land, if you kill one soul, it's as if you've killed all of mankind entirely. But if you save one soul, it's as if you save mankind entirely. Well, the Quran says that. Yeah, but it's been completely taken out of context. Why? Because the whole verse is not being quoted. And by the way, that saying comes from the Talmud. That comes from Jewish tradition. Muhammad learned that from his Jewish sources. The reason the Quran has a lot of information in it about the Bible is confused is because Muhammad learned from Jewish and Christian sources and obviously got confused on things or forgot things or just changed things along the way. So we're going to let David Wood clear the air on this. We'll go to clip number one, as he's going to explain what is really happening here with this verse in the Quran. Clip one.
In Surah 5, verse 32, Allah explains what was ordained for the Jews. So what did Allah ordain for Muslims? The answer is found in the very next verse. Surah 5, verse 33 declares, the recompense of those who wage war against Allah and against His Messenger and do mischief in the land is only that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands and their feet be cut off from opposite sides, or be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and in a great torment is theirs in the hereafter.
Oh, did you get that? Did you hear that? This verse, if you kill one soul, it's as if you've killed the whole world. If you save one soul, it's as if you save the whole world. This, in the Quran, we decreed, that means Allah, we decreed upon the children of Israel. This is what Allah gave Israel. So, yes, Muhammad got this from his Jewish sources, that this is what Jewish tradition said. If you kill one person, it's as if you kill the whole world. If you save one person, it's as if you save the whole world. Our president, in his famous speech in Cairo and reaching out to the Muslims in this enlightened speech and speaking almost as if he himself was a Muslim, using the proper terminology and all that, he quoted this, just that snippet that the Quran says, whoever saves his soul is as if he saved the whole world, saves one soul. Yeah, that's Talmud. That's Jewish tradition. And that's what God gave to Israel. What did God give to Muslims? Next verse. Kill the unbelievers. Crucify them. Kill them. Let's go to clip number two as David Wood continues to set the record straight.
Verse 33 is about what Muslims are supposed to do if someone commits the vague crime of doing mischief. If you do mischief in a Muslim land, Muslims are supposed to kill you or crucify you or, for lesser crimes, chop off body parts or exile you. So what counts as mischief? Lots of things. Apostasy, preaching a religion other than Islam, adultery, becoming too westernized, things like that. If you violate Sharia, you're making mischief. By opposing Sharia, you've declared war on Allah, and you have to pay.
So was France guilty in the eyes of radical Muslims? Sure, absolutely. And you say, yeah, but France is not a Muslim country. Yes, but France is involved in fighting against Islamic terrorism in other parts of the world. France is involved in fighting against ISIS. Therefore, all of France is guilty. So we go to the last clip, clip number four, where David Wood is helping us to understand the mentality of radical Muslims.
What about French civilians? Well, in Sunan ibn Majah 2759 and Sahih al-Bukhari 2843, Muhammad said that people who equip soldiers receive the same reward as the soldiers. In other words, it's not just the soldiers who are guilty and deserve death, it's also the people who fund the military, the people who pay the bills so that soldiers can be soldiers. They're just as responsible, according to Muhammad. So, who pays for the French military to make mischief in Muslim countries? The French government, which is funded by French taxpayers, ordinary French civilians. So, if the average French civilian is just as responsible for causing problems in Muslim countries as the French soldiers who fight in Muslim countries, what's the penalty? Death.
So by that mentality that David Wood has just explained, that many radical Muslims would accept and would embrace. Based on that mentality, then in fact, anyone in France or anyone in America, or anyone in Russia, for that matter, fighting against ISIS, anyone in England, and any group whose nation is fighting against radical Muslims in any part of the world, they're all fair game because they're part of that larger system which is supporting the terror. And there's no such thing as anyone being innocent. And from their perspective, when we wage war in Iraq to take out Saddam Hussein, when we wage war in Afghanistan to take out the Taliban, when we wage war in Syria against ISIS, to the extent we're doing that, we are now waging war on the entire Muslim world. And we are the worst terrorists of all, because by our bombings and our acts of war, we are killing not tens or hundreds or thousands, but hundreds of thousands or even millions. And therefore, we are the worst terrorist group in the entire world. That's how radical Islam looks at us. That's the reality. Now, when I tweeted out on Friday night, first tweet said, look at what's happening in France. This is the face of Islamic terror. And then I tweeted out something that honestly, I didn't think would be particularly controversial. I simply said this. While it is true today that most Muslims are not terrorists, it is also true today that most terrorists are Muslims. That seemed pretty simple, pretty non-controversial, pretty basic. And I was literally surprised. I wasn't shocked, but I was genuinely surprised by the people challenging me. That's racist. How dare you say that? what about all the other terrorist groups that more than Muslims? I said, what in the world are you talking about? Middle East scholar Daniel Pipes says since 9/11, there have been more than 27,000 Islamic terrorist attacks around the world. Terrorist attacks directly associated with Islam, at least 27,000 since 9/11. That averages out to more than 5 per day. Please tell me, were any other groups, terrorist groups, any other groups, and any name, any religion, were they come anywhere near those types of statistics? It's not controversial, friends. It's reality. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I also tweeted out on Friday night, let's pray for the millions of Muslims worldwide who are revulsed by these terrorist acts. Pray that God would open their hearts, obviously, to the gospel, to the love of God, to the truth as it is in Jesus. So I recognize that there are millions of Muslims, maybe hundreds of millions of Muslims, who renounce these terrorist acts and say this is not Islam. It's one thing if an Islamic nation was invaded. Let's just say that we decided we're going to attack Iran. And we come in to attack Iran because we don't want them to get a nuclear bomb. We realize we signed a bad treaty with them. And then Iran fought back against us. Well, I could see why in their viewpoint it would be, quote, a holy war, that we are attacking them and they're a sovereign nation. We have no business doing that. And I can understand why there are Muslims who say we had no business going into Iraq. It's not our territory. It wasn't our role to do that. Obviously, we've made great sacrifices to deal with Iraq and to try to help the Iraqi people. Many of the Iraqi people may appreciate it. Others may feel that we intrude it. But I could understand if Muslims said, we've got no right doing that, and they have every right to fight back and kill us, and it's a holy war. I could understand that mentality, but that's very different from walking into a concert hall or walking into a cafe or walking into a soccer game or whatever it is and trying to blow people up and trying to kill people, men, women, and children. So all that to say, friends, that I recognize there are millions of Muslims around the world who are revulsed by these things. But you cannot deny that the Quran easily gives birth to terror. You cannot deny that the Quran and Islamic tradition can be used to support these acts of terror. You cannot deny that Muhammad goes from being a spiritual leader to a political leader to a military leader. And rather than just say, okay, that was like the book of Joshua, that happened one time, it was a one-time event, and that was that. And it's not, if your neighbor says, oh, I come from the ancient land of Canaan. Oh, you're Canaan, I'm going to kill you. No, 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 we don't do that. And Jesus said, in that respect, put down the sword, take up the cross. We don't do that. If they're demons, we drive them out. We don't drive out the people physically like the children of Israel did. It's now a spiritual battle. I'm not talking about going to war for a cause. I'm not talking about self-defense in your home. I'm talking about we don't spread the gospel by the sword. Yet, Muslims can very easily use Islamic texts and say we are interpreting them unfairly. We're interpreting them the way Muhammad lived them out. We're interpreting them the way other Muslims in history have lived these things out. There have been other slaughters, other genocides, other atrocities committed in the name of Islam, and we're simply doing that. Absolutely, whereas you cannot use the Bible, the whole Bible, and do that. You cannot use the whole Bible rightly and fairly and go kill your neighbor in the name of Jesus because of some alleged offense committed by his people in other parts of the world. You can't do that. And, you know, when some people said, well, I'll give you examples of Christian terrorism, I said, go ahead. Number to call, 866-348-7884. And if you've got a long list of Christian terrorist groups, please give me a call and let's hear them. Again, I'm not saying There is no group out there. I'm saying proportionately, the great majority of terrorism worldwide is Islamic. And the great majority of terrorists worldwide are Islamic. Okay? So someone tweets, well, Westboro Baptist Church, you got to be kidding me. As fanatical and bigoted as they are, they're the infamous God Hates Fags group, as bigoted and fanatical as they are, they don't kill people. They don't murder people. They hold up signs. They do distasteful things like that, but they're not murdering people. They're not beheading people in Jesus' name. And they're a handful of people. Someone else said, Timothy McVeigh. Well, first, Timothy McVeigh was not a Christian. He was not doing this to carry out his Christian beliefs based on the teaching of Jesus. And even if he was somehow, how many Timothy McVeighs have there been in the last 10 or 15 or 20 years? Compared to more than 27,000 Islamic acts of terror worldwide since 9/11. No, I am not indicting all Muslims. No, I am not saying that all Islam is radical and violent. I'm not even saying that radical Islam is the only legitimate interpretation of Islam, although some would say that. I'm simply saying it is one legitimate interpretation of Islam with roots in history, with roots in Islamic texts, and we've got to deal with it the way right now the president of France is dealing with it. There's an article on the, New York Post. So this is today. François Hollande is making Obama look like a fool. So Amanda Pizer says it's beyond surreal that the president of France is making the American president look like a cheese-eating amateur. President France is immediately addressing radical Islam, immediately with a massive assault on ISIS in Syria, and then they're going to shut down the radical mosques because they're identifying the problem. They're going to deal with it. We won't even name it, let alone identify it. Wow. Now, before I go to your calls, let me remind you that Jesus is Lord. Let me remind you that our lives belong to him. Let me remind you that in him, we have security, we have strength, and we need to be praying for these Muslims to come to faith in Jesus. We don't only need to pray for the persecuted church. Of course we do. But we also pray for their persecutors, that God would save them, that God would deliver them. And yes, we also pray for justice to be done. Lord, your will be done. One quick report, social media this week, one of our memes that we posted about the refugee crisis being a Trojan horse being used by terrorists to infiltrate countries like Syria, which really raises the issue of how do we compassionately deal with the refugee crisis while also being wise and using wisdom for national security. We posted a meme about that, so a graphic with a question that I posted or a statement that I made. That has reached just under 14 million people as I speak. Just that since Friday night. It's been shared more than 100,000 times on our Facebook page. So thank you for helping get the message out. And it was terrific to meet face-to-face for the first time, Senator Ted Cruz at the Religious Freedoms Rally, attended by several thousand at Bob Jones University in Greensville, South Carolina, on Saturday. And when I did have just a few moments with him, all the more do I believe in his sincerity. He did not strike me at all as a politician trying to win votes. He struck me as a man who feels he has a mission from God to help America. And I know other candidates feel that way as well. But I want to honor him in saying that. And it was my honor to be asked to pray for him before the meeting and then to lead in prayer at the meeting. All right, I've got another hour and a half to go. I'm going to take your call shortly. Those losing me on the air, keep listening to me online. AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Listen Live. And honestly, no hype. I don't know how my team put this together for this price, but two critically important books on revival, two of my most important books on revival together with a CD that will spark your heart to pray for revival and outpouring. All this for just $20 postage paid. It's a value of more than $40, so we've cut the price in half to be a blessing to you. Revival in the church, that's the hope of America. Go to AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage, to find out more and to place your order.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us as we discuss critically important issues and continue to pray for God's grace and comfort on the people of France and that they would turn to God. This is such a godless nation. My friend Dr. James White posted on his Facebook page a little graphic, a little cartoon from the Charlie Hebdo people, and it's just a little stick figure face and then just handwritten, you know, thanks for your prayers, but we don't need them. You know, we're the nation of life and this and that and joy. And it's a very secular nation. It's never recovered from the godlessness of the French Revolution in the late 1700s. And many people in France have never held the Bible in their hands in their lives, read the contents of it in any way. Many now, despite a Catholic heritage, have never even been to a traditional church service. So, above all, France needs the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Is radical Islam real Islam? Is radical Islam the only Islam? Is it true what I tweeted out Friday night that most Muslims are not terrorists, but that most terrorists are Muslims? 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Mount Rainier, Maryland. Sheila, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I'm not talking too loudly. Can you hear me?
No, are you talking right into your phone?
Yes,
can't
I am.
All right, good, because speakerphone doesn't work on the air. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not on a speakerphone.
Good. Go ahead, then.
I was going to comment on what you mentioned about the Muslims being terrorists. I totally agree with you that they are the most predominant terrorist group in this world at this present time. But I do believe that when I look at ISIS, I think of the Ku Klux Klan. That was a predominant domestic terrorist group in the United States. Shortly after the Civil War ended, it came into existence and it terrorized the whole country. They would march on horses. They would march into people's homes. They would kill people. They would rent, and it was all in the name of their Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have died down a lot now, and they're pretty much underground, and you don't really see the KKK signs much or anywhere else. But when I think of, and I see ISIS with the black veil over the face and the black heading over the head, I can't not help but to think of the Ku Klux Klan because they're so similar in looks, except for their different colors. The Ku Klux Klan wore white garments and covered their heads, and you can only see the eye. But I have to tell you, they killed people in the name of them, of their Christianity. They claimed to be Christians.
Yep.
And they were judges, lawyers, doctors, the average person, not just in the South, all the way up to Vermont, where I used to live. I heard in the 1920s, the Ku Klux Klan marched there in the thousands. And I would wonder why, because there weren't many people of color living up there. But this country bred a domestic terrorist group that was condoned by the government because they were never prosecuted. If they were, it was the jury nullified and they got off. So I agree with you. ISIS is a terrorist group, and most Muslims, right, the way you just described it, I totally agree with you, but
yep.
The United States has a horrible history of condoning terrorism, and now look what is happening on the other side of the world that's coming to us, creeping over to us. We have a bad record of terrorism.
Yeah, so let me respond to that, but I appreciate the call and the point very much, Sheila. I'm going to get my response on the other side of the break, but thank you so much for weighing in. Stay right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us and being part of the broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. So I've asked folks, okay, give me an example, Christian examples worldwide, that are the equivalent of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other terrorist groups, Islamic terrorist groups. And I've asked in my latest article, Islam, Terrorism, and Denial, which you can read by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, clicking on latest article. I've asked there, where are the videos of Christian terrorists beheading their captives in Jesus' name? And how many Christian suicide bombers are blowing themselves up in churches, whereas on a tragically regular basis, Muslims are doing this in mosques among rival Islamic groups? So where are the equivalent terrorist groups? So Sheila, I just called in from Mount Rainier, Maryland, agreed that the majority of terrorist groups today are Muslims, but said that we don't have all that great a history ourselves here in America because we tolerated the Ku Klux Klan or supported the Ku Klux Klan, which was a racist group that committed terrorist acts and that was not actively shut down by the American government or was let off the hook, etc., was tolerated. It still even exists in different parts of America today. Yeah, shameful history, no doubt. Shameful, ugly. The white supremacist view, trying to use the Bible to preach white supremacy. And yeah, you've got the black Hebrews trying to use the Bible to preach black supremacy, but let's deal with the white history here. Using the Bible, misusing the Bible to preach white supremacy, and then misusing the Bible to put people of color to death, hang them, beat them. What? Yeah, a complete misuse and abuse of the Bible, yet it happened. Sheila's point, Carla, also proves my point. These things are absolute aberrations. These things ultimately had to be underground in many parts of America, and there were pockets of time when the Ku Klux Klan was thriving and then went down, and then thrived down again, because there's no Christian biblical support for it. So are there groups? Was it Christian Identity? Is that one of them? A white supremacy group that supports terror? I'm not sure if that's the correct one, so don't quote me on that. I'm just remembering. I may not have that correctly in front of me. But these things have existed. You do have in some African nations where there has been warfare, Islamic warfare, that you'll have a Christian-named group now fighting back. I'm not saying that these things have never existed. I'm not saying that they don't exist today. I'm saying that they remain the tiny minority because it is not a legitimate expression of Christian faith to engage in these atrocities. It is not a legitimate expression of Christian faith to engage in white supremacist acts, especially those that lead to violence and terror and death. So as ugly as these are, as reprehensible as these are, as inexcusable as these are, if this was the Christian way, then we'd be blowing up abortion clinics all over the country every week. If this was the Christian way, we'd be killing abortion doctors every week. If this was the Christian way, we'd be lynching Muslims across America every week. If this was the Christian way, we'd be burning Jews at the stake, as happened with the church in Europe in centuries past. Just saying those words is distasteful, even say the words, let alone imagine them. Whereas in Islam, Islamic theology is conducive to this. So not diminishing a word that Sheila said, I don't have the historical details of everything that she cited. The Vermont thing, that's one of those, you're serious, Vermont? So I'm not downplaying that at all. And what she's saying was, look, we've been guilty of terrorism. Terrorism's coming to our shores. We've been guilty of a lot of things. Just the guilt of abortion is enough. Just exporting pornography and sexually explicit movies and extreme violent movies around the world, that's enough. We've helped the world in many ways. We've also hurt the world in many ways. Our exporting of gay activism around the world, the pressure we put on other nations with that, that's a wrong thing. No, I'm not saying it's an act of terror. No, I'm not equating that, but I'm saying it's a wrong thing. We've done many wrong things in America. Our history of slave trade and racism and segregation, terrible things. So we need the mercy of God, period. We need the mercy of God. That's the simple bottom line. But you cannot give me anything in the teaching of Jesus that supports these acts of terror where you can find plenty of verses in the Quran that support these acts of terror. You can find examples from the life of Muhammad himself that support this. You can find teachings in Islamic tradition that support this. And therefore, Muslim terrorist groups, the ones that engage in these atrocities, tend to be very devout Muslims. That's why you have far more Islamic terror than, quote, Christian terror, or even Hindu terror, or Buddhist terror, or Jewish terror. Because the Quran and Islamic theology is more conducive to acts of terror. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Hickory, North Carolina. Craig, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I think that I would have to ask one question of you, because I would, you know, in the style of debate, if I'm going to present the con side, as in, why would President Obama, why would any public leader such as Hillary Clinton, utilizing the term public leader, not use the quotation, the term, the terminology, radical Islam? So to promote the con side in a debate style, I would say that to utilize the actual terminology would be, in classic definition, a moot point. And saying that, because if we are to base our statements on the fact that Christian teaching says lay down the sword, pick up the cross, then in Islamic teaching, there would be a common sense. Now, I will admit, not a student of Islam. I do not know the Quran from front to back, back to front. But I would think, just as what your last caller stated, if you can find a pocket of people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ to have the word of God at any period of time in history, and they engage in violent acts of terror, and then again we have to define what terror means, but if they engage in violent acts of terror, then they have went against the teachings theoretically as well as naturally, because there is a natural expression of God's spiritual teaching. So I'm just on a con side, and then to add on, just minor, the United States government, still to this day, being a government built on the backs of its slave trade, has not gone so far as to atone for that, and they have always presented themselves from a governmental standpoint as a country built on Christian values, from the clauses of the Bill of Rights.
So tell you what, let me just jump in and respond first, okay, just to the focused Islamic part. So I appreciate you raising the other point, and you've done a good job of doing it. Here are the problems. Number one, you have whole nations like Iran that practice radical Islam. You have whole nations like Saudi Arabia that espouse tenets of radical Islam. You have regular messages being preached in mosques around the world, inciting, calling for violence against the unbelievers. You have Muslim leaders in Gaza holding up suicide vests as they preach in the mosque, holding up knives and saying, this is how you kill the Jews. You have whole countries like Pakistan, where if you convert from Islam and become a Christian or just leave the Islamic faith, you could be killed by your own family member and it would be perfectly fine. If you just make an accusation, that Christian blasphemed the Quran, that person right there could be stoned to death on the street by the mob. You have devout Muslims by the tens of millions around the world, and senior Islamic theologians and political leaders who espouse radical Islam. And they have text after text after text after text from the Quran, including the example of Muhammad when he had taken captive between 600 and 800 Jews from the Beni Quraysh tribe. When he had taken them captive, he then beheaded them. If the boys had come into puberty, then they were beheaded along with all the men between 600 and 800. Either he personally did it or he oversaw it. So that's part of Islamic tradition. So you have a totally different thing. You have Muhammad beheading his enemies, his captives who have surrendered, and you have Jesus dying on a cross and telling his followers, don't fight back. And I remember when President Bush because he did the same thing. He said, this is not Islam. Islam is a religion of peace. And I remember the Taliban did a press conference in Afghanistan and said, oh, President Bush is going to teach us what the Quran means. So that's the problem. And you have Islamic history, the so-called golden age of Islam, about 800 years ago. That's when they wiped out most of Christianity from Africa and large parts of the Middle East, Northern Africa and large parts of the Middle East, doing exactly what they're doing today, beheading people, burning churches, pushing people out. You know, they had to flee for their lives. So this really is a genuine reflection of Islam. And that's why President of France immediately said, we're dealing with radical Islam. All right, stay right there, Craig. I want to let you respond.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So we're discussing why the president of Holland and the French leadership immediately made reference to radical Islam, why nations around the world will speak about Islamic terror, while strategists will talk about Islamic terror, whereas many presidential candidates today will freely talk about radical Islam, Islamic terror, and our president, Hillary Clinton, will not do that. President Bush, same way. It's not that he wouldn't use the term radical Islam, but Islam is a religion of peace and could not recognize that for large swaths of Islam, for at least several hundred million Muslims, Islam advances by the edge of the sword with ample support from the Quran and Islamic tradition and Islamic history and the life of Muhammad himself. So Craig in Hickory, North Carolina, raised some great points. We would say that when Christians have used the Bible to support slavery or when Christians have used the Bible to support hateful acts or hateful deeds, we say that's not real Christianity. And for example, I'm not going to say that Fred Phelps, the late Fred Phelps in Westboro Baptist Church, that's radical Christianity. I'm going to say it's a perversion of Christianity with their message. So is our president doing the same thing? Great point and well argued by Craig. Again, the difference is you cannot legitimately support these claims, be it segregation, be it slavery, be it other abuses in the name of Jesus and using the Bible or killing someone for the faith. You can't possibly use the New Testament to support that, but you absolutely can use the Quran and be very devout and believe that you are supposed to be fighting the infidels. So, Craig, back to you just so you can give a closing response.
Oh, well, I thank you once more and again for allowing me to even have a response to that.
No, you bet.
I would not disagree with you on your main point of, and just to condense it down, I would not disagree with you in your main statement of not all Muslims are terrorists, but according to what we've been presented worldwide, all terrorists seem to come from Muslim culture or Islamic faith. And yes, we can use the term radical if we want to stand from the position of devout in our following of Christ Jesus. This is the most radical of them who follow Allah.
We can say that.
I guess if I want to respond further and take it a little deeper to clarify, it is not the business or the interest of this American government to use the term, which makes it moot, because the interest of this American government is neither devout to Jesus Christ or devout in its support of the people who are devout to Jesus Christ.
Right.
I think that's what I would say if I had a response.
Got it. Hey, listen, because you had thought through what you wanted to say and said it very clearly and took it on, not even whether you fully agree with it or not, but to take the other position, I wanted to respect that. A lot of people call and thankfully we've got wonderful callers, but some will call to argue and they don't really have any substance to it. And the moment I expose it, they don't want to listen. So because I knew we could have an intelligent conversation about this, I wanted to give you the opportunity to respond. And so thank you, sir, for that. Much appreciated. Let me just explain why it's important that we identify it. I understand that our government is saying it's more important that we keep our friendship with Muslim nations. It is more important that we keep our relationship with Muslim nations. It is more important that we not provoke them. That's the most important thing. And therefore, we're going to speak in reasonable terms and not even acknowledge this as Islam whatsoever. And therefore, we'll maintain good relationships with the Muslim nations, be able to work together. Well, it's pretty well demonstrated. It doesn't work like that because we're still looked at as the great Satan, the evil Satan in the West. We're still perceived as an enemy in these other countries. And we have anything. Look, our troops in Saudi Arabia have anything but free, total religious freedom to openly practice their faith among the Saudi people. We have to make all kinds of concessions to be there. But here's why it's so important, Craig, and everyone else listening, that we identify radical Islam. If we don't identify it and name it, we can't adequately combat it. What do I mean by that? You might say, well, look, there's ISIS, they're terrorists, just bomb them or deal. Oh, okay, but it's not just terrorism. We're dealing with an ideology. That ideology is being fostered in some mosques here in America. And just like France is saying, we're going to crack down on mosques where this radical preaching is going forward. Well, we have to do a better job of monitoring. Listen, if I knew that there was an epidemic throughout the world and throughout America of people claiming that Jesus sanctioned violence and that he said you should go kill your enemies, etc., and the government said, listen, we need to listen into sermons. We're only listening to see if where this is being provoked because we got to crack down on this. Well, go ahead, listen. Go ahead and listen to sermons. Go ahead and find out what's being said. And if you found pulpits in America where those atrocious things were being espoused, then by all means, crack down. Thankfully, that's not the case. But when it comes to radical Islam, it is the case. And it's being fostered. It's being encouraged. It's being sparked by some Islamic leaders in America and Islamic leaders in Great Britain and Islamic leaders in France. So the government must identify it and deal with it. And why can't you just say what I said? And again, Craig, I recognize you agree with this. Most Muslims today worldwide are not terrorists. I could stretch it out further. It was a tweet, so they had so many words. Most Muslims today worldwide are not sympathetic to terrorism. At the same time, most terrorists are Muslims. And if, for example, we had a series of terrorist attacks that were all committed by, here's a total fictional thing, no offense intended, all committed by Swedes, men with blonde hair, over 6'3", who all held to a particular ideology, and you had a bunch of Swedes coming over who were all 6'5" tall and who had connections to this ideology, and suddenly there's a spark of them coming over to America, would it be racial profiling to say, all right, we're going to have to slow this down before you get into our country because you fit a description here? That, look, it makes it harder for others that are innocent, but we've got to be careful and wise. What's the great solution for the problems in America and France? Revival in the church coming alive, living like Jesus, being full of the Spirit, living out the gospel on the streets, among the poor, among the hurting, setting captives free, winning the lost, making disciples. That's the key. We've got two great resources this week that I want to strongly encourage you to get hold of. Two books of mine on revival. One co-authored with Pastor John Kilpatrick and editor Larry Sparks, The Fire That Never Sleeps. And then the Revival Answer Book, along with the Holy Desperation CD, just $20 postage paid for the whole package. Get them as holiday gifts. AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I want to repeat it yet again. Most Muslims today are not terrorists, but most terrorists today are indeed Muslims. Well, it's definitely true today that most Muslims are not terrorists. It's also definitely true that most terrorists are Muslims.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What were you thinking Friday night as the reports were coming in from France and the pictures coming in and the horror because of social media, people are hostages and tweeting out, help, get the police in there, please, they're just killing us. What were you thinking watching that? 866-34-TRUTH, this is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. In the midst of a society in chaos in a church, all too often in compromise. What were you thinking Friday night? Of part, your heart for the people, obviously. The agony of the people, the lives lost, the sudden dramatic changes for families, for a nation. The shock of it, the horror of it, the pain of it. Of course, you're thinking about that. Were you also thinking what I was thinking, which was, will they wake up now? Will they get it now? Will other nations get it now? Will they understand? Will American leaders, will our government, will we finally get it? Will we finally wake up to reality? Will we finally understand that radical Islam is exactly what we say? It is radical and it is Islam. It is murderous. It is destructive. I tweeted it out Friday night. I didn't think it would be too controversial, but it was. I tweeted out, it is true today that most Muslims are not terrorists. It is also true today that most terrorists are Muslims. Seemed pretty indisputable in light of the tens of thousands of Islamic terror attacks that have taken place, according to Daniel Pipes, Middle East scholar Daniel Pipes, more than 27,000 since 9/11 worldwide associated with Islam. That you have no similar, comparable figures, groups, ideologies across the board, religious, non-religious, like this. The vast majority of worldwide terrorist attacks are Islamic. In fact, the vast majority are Muslims killing Muslims, rival factions killing each other. You don't hear. Please tell me the last 10 incidents of a Christian going into a church and blowing himself up and other worshipers there because he's part of a different Christian group. Please give me one example, five examples, 10 examples of that, all right? Yet it happens commonly in the Muslim world. We don't hear it reported that much because it's Muslims killing Muslims in some other parts of the world. But if you go to thereligionofpeace.com, yes, obviously sarcastically named, thereligionofpeace.com, if you'll go there, you'll find example after example of Muslims killing Muslims. If we do not identify radical Islam for what it is, we cannot rightly combat it. And we must do that while recognizing that most Muslims are not terrorists, that you have moderate Muslims who are nominal, just like nominal Christians go to church a few times a year. You have moderate Muslims who are nominal, and they may participate in some Islamic rituals and live by some of the lifestyle, but they're not strictly following the book. And then you have others who are moderate who say the Quran does not support violence, the Quran does not support terrorism, the Quran is a peaceful book when understood rightly. The verses of war, the verses of terror, those are only in a wartime and they reflected what was happening in Muhammad's day. They are not reflective of all practices of Muslims worldwide for all times. So I say fair enough. We can debate that. I respect the many Muslims, the millions of Muslims who are revulsed by what happened in France and who are embarrassed by it because they know it just makes them look bad. And they would never commit those acts themselves or endorse them or support them. Therefore, I speak of radical Islam. But make no mistake about it. Radical Islam has its roots in Islamic theology and in the Quran itself. It is not made up out of thin air. Wake up, America. Wake up, world.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, we barely got to the issue of immigration, the refugees, in the first hour. I want to put that out again for discussion. 866-348-7884. What about the refugees fleeing Syria, fleeing violence in the Middle East? I was speaking to a Christian couple in Winston-Salem yesterday where I ministered. And if you're listening to me right now, Winston-Salem, John, if you're in the car with your mom coming from school today, little shout out to you, buddy. Nice to meet your mom yesterday, too, a regular faithful listener to the broadcast. So speaking to a pastoral couple from Winston-Salem yesterday, they are actively involved in sponsoring two Syrian refugee families, bringing them into Winston-Salem. And one family they've gotten really close with, Muslim families. The other one is newer, arriving here, but they spent many hours with them, and these folks seem wide open to the gospel and just deeply touched by Christian love, and they suffered atrocities at the hands of their fellow Muslims. They suffered atrocities. Well, it's wonderful. It's Christian to bring them in, to sponsor them, to get involved in their lives, to show them the love of God, to show them a better way, to live out and show them who Jesus really is by the way they live. Yet, can we then extend that concept to refugees this worldwide and say, hey, we just open our borders and come in as you have need? Or do we have to figure out, okay, how do we keep the terrorists out? How do we keep potential terrorists out? How do we keep out those who could easily become terrorists once they got here? Though these are very important questions, very important security questions. Now, a caller in the first hour said, no question today, the vast majority of terrorists are Muslim. And remember, there are a lot of Muslims worldwide, so that's also a reason for this. But this caller said, let's not forget the Ku Klux Klan in America. They claim to be Christian, and they existed at different times in our country and still exist today, mainly underground. And you've got the ISIS terrorists covering their faces. You had the Ku Klux Klan activists who committed terrorist acts covering their faces. And let's remember our history. Oh, no question. I mean, ugly, deplorable, reprehensible, inexcusable, of course. But at the same time, as much as they claim to be Christian, from what I've read, virtually every Christian denomination in America renounced them. Whereas you have large portions of the Muslim world celebrating the terrorist acts. You have large portions of the Muslim world thinking this is wonderful. After the 9/11 terror attacks, Osama became a very, very popular name in the Muslim world. That would be the difference, and that is the problem. Now, I've been criticized and attacked for using the term radical Islam. Some have criticized me because they said, don't call it Islam. It's not Islam at all. Well, I reject that. I reject that based on the many Quranic texts that can be easily used to support terrorist acts in contrary with the teachings of Jesus, which cannot, with the teachings of the New Testament or the Bible read as a whole, which cannot. However, I'm fully aware that these verses can and have been used to justify acts of violence, acts of terror against perceived enemies of Islam worldwide through the centuries. I'll give you a little background on Islamic theology in a moment to help you understand the mentality, the mindset. I know you have from the life of Muhammad himself, acts of beheading. I know you have in Islamic tradition and history, acts of violence against the unbelievers. Then I also know you have other verses and other traditions that say, no, 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 we're peace-loving, and we work together with others, and yes, we want our Sharia law so we can live as Muslims, but we're not going to kill you, and so on and so forth. So I refuse to agree with our president or Hillary Clinton or others who won't even say the term radical Islam or Islamic terror, because it is Islamic terror. It is radical Islam. But I'm criticized from folks on the other side who say, don't call it radical Islam, just call it Islam, because all Islam is evil and all Islam is violent and all Islam supports terrorism, true Islam. I differ with that. Oh, yeah, it is the world's biggest false religion, and Muhammad is the greatest in terms of the worst, most influential false prophet in history. Yes, without question. No argument about that. And it is an antichrist faith. And in that sense, it is evil in its denial of the gospel and its rewriting of the Bible. But I do believe that there are sincere Islamic theologians and devout Muslims today and through the centuries who repudiate acts of terror and who read the Quran and read Islamic tradition differently. So therefore, I put radical Islam in quotes. But let me remind you, if you don't identify it for what it is, how can you combat it? If you don't identify it for what it is, how can you resist it? If you don't identify it for what it is, how can you expose it? Our president, similar to President Bush, in just espousing Islam as a religion of peace and not saying there is a legitimate interpretation of Islam which is radical and militant and murderous, by not doing that, you not only hurt the American people, you hurt Muslims around the world as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Justin in Raleigh. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Is it okay if I call back another time? I'm actually in the middle of something.
Yeah, go for it. If our lines are not totally jammed, go for it. Call back when you're able to. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, were any of you at the Religious Liberties Rally Saturday in Greenville, South Carolina? I saw a note from someone who had traveled 4 hours. We posted a video that's been viewed over 100,000 times on our Facebook page since yesterday afternoon, where I had the honor of praying for Senator Cruz before the rally started. Gus got a couple minutes with him before the rally started as well and appreciated the depth of his convictions. I'm sure there are other candidates like this as well. So I'm not only speaking of Senator Cruz, but in my time with him, I could honestly say that he impressed me not as a politician, but as a sincere man who believed that he had a mission, a sincere man, a sincere Christian who had a burden and who believes that he can make a difference in America. Now, I know there are other candidates that are like that as well, okay? But I just want to say that because I had the opportunity to spend a few minutes with Senator Cruz and hear his heart and then to pray for him with other leaders. If you haven't watched the video, I think you'll be blessed by his comments too before the Religious Freedoms Rally. But if you were there in Greenville, I'd love to hear from you. Give me a call, 866-348-7884. All right, we go to Charlotte, North Carolina. James, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, how are you doing, Dr. Brown?
Real well, thank you.
Good, good. First time caller, first time listener.
Great.
And if I'm not mistaken, I heard you say you prayed for Donald Trump.
No, I prayed for Senator Ted Cruz at the Religious Freedoms Rally before the meeting. I was asked to lead in prayer, so put my hand on his shoulder and prayed over him, prayed for the whole rally, and then prayed over him for God's will and God's purposes and for God to give him a mind of wisdom and a heart of compassion and a backbone of steel. Yeah, I've never met Donald Trump.
Okay, my fault. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I was going to ask you the topic about Donald Trump, but it was Senator Ted Cruz. Well, you answered my question.
If I had the opportunity to pray for anyone, if I was given the honor of meeting privately with President Obama, putting my hand on his shoulder and praying for him, I once had the privilege of doing that for Prince Andrew at Buckingham Palace in England. If I could pray for Donald Trump, I'd joyfully do it. Pray for God's best and pray for God to make them everything he wants them to be, etc. But I never met Donald Trump and never been asked to pray for him, nor have I endorsed his candidacy. So. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for getting clarification, dear brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. Be blessed.
All right. You bet. All right. 866-348-7884. Let me tell you something else I was thinking. Something else I was thinking as I watched the events unfold from France, the tragic events. I'm also thinking, are people going to understand what Israel deals with? Are people going to understand what Israel deals with? We posted a graphic on Facebook. I saw someone else posted it, and I decided to post it on our page as well. And it shows a picture of the Eiffel Tower, and then it has the date 11-13, or put in the day first, as you would in France, 13-11, the day, then the month, saying this was their day to experience Islamic terror. And then, next to that, Twin Towers, 9-11. This was our day as a nation, the most extreme level, to experience Islamic terror. And then, picture of Israel, and then 24-7, is what it said. This is what Israel deals with every day of the week. You say, I'm not hearing about attacks every day of the week. Well, sometimes they are happening. Recently with the stabbings and cars driving into people, recently they have been happening almost every day, sometimes a few in a day. But they would happen, listen to me, I'm not exaggerating, they would happen not dozens of times, hundreds of times a day, if not for Israel's day and night security vigil. Did you hear me? These would happen hundreds of times a day in Israel. Islamic radicals acting out their faith as they're heard to do in the mosque, as they're provoked by state TV, trying to kill Israeli men, women, and children.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let me put this out again. I can list for you influential, heavily funded, widely supported Islamic radical groups around the world, like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, like the Taliban, like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like Islamic Jihad, like Al-Shabaab, like Boko Haram, one after another, after another, after another, after another, deriving their theology from the Quran, deriving their actions from the Quran. I can list those. Can you list similar things among Christian groups? You find a group here, a group there, and that's it. You don't find it. Why? Because it is not according to the spirit of Jesus, whereas it is according to the spirit of Islam, at least on one interpretation. I just tweeted this out during the break. It's a simple question. People can respond yes or no. Is radical Islam a true expression of Islam? Many Muslims would say no. Many other Muslims would say yes. And many non-Muslims, depends on what their background is, they'll answer with yes or no. And I believe it is a question that must be answered. To stick one's head in the sand in denial, you may end up losing your head one day. 866-348-7884. Again, in the first hour, one of the callers said, well, what about Ku Klux Klan in America? Yeah, it existed. It's atrocious. The fact that it still exists in certain underground ways. The fact that it claimed to be Christian and American, that's what's reprehensible, and what the Klan did is reprehensible, and the murderous acts they carried out are reprehensible, but to do it in the name of American values and Christianity, all the more reprehensible. But that again proves the point. There's one group, and it was a tiny minority group, and it was repudiated by all Christian denominations nationally, and you don't have that same phenomenon in case after case after case around the world. And you can't legitimately use the teachings of Jesus to support it, whereas you can legitimately use the teachings of the Quran to support Islamic terror. Now, I am not downplaying the ugly history. You know I don't do that. But I'm saying you can't rightly make the comparison. And our caller was fully with me in saying that, yes, it is true that most terrorists today are Muslims. Someone had called in. They're not on the line now as I look up. But for one reason or another, couldn't give their name. But she wanted us to know that her father worked with the FBI. Ah, here we go. All right, so reconnecting. Okay, yes, so you just wanted to bring a perspective about the Ku Klux Klan and government action against the Klan.
Yes,
go ahead, please.
Our government did prosecute the Klan. I grew up in South Mississippi. In the 60s, my father was an FBI man in New York City. He was from Louisiana. J. Edgar Hoover agreed to let some Southern boys come to the South and bust up the Klan. And that's exactly what they did. He infiltrated the Klan. He had them arrested and put in jail. And even our own house was vandalized by the Klan. We had burnt cross in the front yard. Our bicycles were burnt and broken in two. I almost sat on the knife that was sticking straight up in a school bus. And I really don't believe it was that they used Christianity as their excuse. Now, maybe they did. I don't know. But it was strictly hatred of blacks. And yeah. Oh boy, they did not want a black to marry a white or date a white.
Yeah.
And I saw it as strictly racial. But he came home with a sword one time and a Klan outfit, you know, and it was wild. And there are many nights when he didn't get home till late, and then when he did, he was a mess.
Yeah.
And I know that they prosecuted the Klan. I just don't want Americans to think that we did not. Our government.
No, thank you for. Yeah, I think what the caller was also suggesting was there parts in America where you, because that racism and hatred existed, that they could get away with more, that the court would look the other way. And I'm sure you had that kind of corruption.
Well, now, this was probably years before the FBI got involved. I don't know how many years it took.
No, but either way, listen, we have...
until the 60s, you know, and that was, you know, when they had the lynchings and everything in the South. Now, I don't know what was going on in the North, my dad was the first FBI man to even come to Mississippi.
Wow.
One of the first. And so, you know, it took a while, I'm sure, for the government to get around to doing something about it. But when they did, those judges and those sheriffs had to buckle down and do what was right.
Yeah, and look, right, you can definitely have... There's definitely corruption that can exist, and you've got pockets where you've got such racism that corruption can exist. But your point, again, is verifying what I'm saying, that this was something that was repudiated by the nation.
Absolutely.
This was something that was repudiated by Christian denominations around the world, and they were completely they were racist, and they tried to use, and here, this is a good way we can summarize the difference. They were racist who claimed to use Christianity to support their racism and their murderous acts, which is, of course, completely impossible. The difference with radical Muslims is they are radical Muslims because of their radical ideology. They're radical Muslims because of their radical beliefs. It's not, for example, that they just hate the French or they hate the Americans and they're using the Quran to support their hatred. No, it's the Quran that supports their view towards the West and towards the non-believer. Thank you very much for calling in. And I can't imagine what it's like to live through all those experiences. It was never part of my history. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm sensitive to Jewish history as a Jew, even though I didn't grow up in an anti-Semitic climate, but I'm sensitive to Jewish history. I'm sensitive to how Jews are treated around the world. And trust me, on a regular basis, I get blasted as a Jew on social media. In fact, maybe next half hour, I'll share some of these things with you. But you'd be amazed at what comes our way on a daily basis. There's so many comments, so many ugly statements about Israel or Jews that instead of just having separate places to put them, I just put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds into one place. Because there are just so many of these attacks. Let me remind you that our hope is in the Lord, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and is the Lord and Savior of the Muslim world if Muslims will look to him. And hundreds of thousands of Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus around the world on a regular basis. The Lord is at work. And the greatest thing we could see is revival in the church, awakening in the church, and awakening in the Muslim world. We have this week two of my most important resources on revival. The new book, co-authored with Pastor John Kilpatrick, and I with editor Larry Sparks, The Fire That Never Sleeps, Keys to Personal Revival. So important. And I have been really blessed by the responses to the book, people deeply moved by it. And then the Revival Answer Book, How to Be Discerning in the Midst of Revival. Those two books, complete paperback, several hundred pages each, those books, plus my CD message, Holy Desperation, which will spark you to cry out to God like few things you've listened to, I believe. All three of those resources, just $20, and we'll pay the postage. This is great for holiday gifts as well. Buy a bunch of them. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to find out more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm just looking on this on Twitter. I've never used a poll before. I asked the question, is radical Islam a true expression of Islam? Respond in the poll here. And I am, let's just see here. I'm not seeing how, here we go. So far, 75% yes, 25% no. And that's the first 40 votes that have come in since I just posted it a few minutes ago. Okay, so that's how I check. Do that little poll there, and that's how I see. Great, that's very helpful. Now, these may not be informed opinions here. These may not be informed opinions, so you can't tell what's informed, what's not informed. My view is this, to repeat. Most Muslims today are not terrorists, but most terrorists today are Muslims. My view is that radical Islam is a true expression of Islam, but not the only viable expression of Islam. Contrary to President Obama and President Bush, I do not believe that radical Islam is a complete perversion of Islam. I believe it has roots in the Quran, in Islamic tradition, in the life of Muhammad, and in Islamic history, and that you could look at it as Orthodox Islam. However, I differ with those who say that it is the only interpretation of Islam. I'm going to have some guests on this week who may argue against me and say, no, this is legitimate Islam. Anything that's moderate, anything that's not violent like this is not true Islam. So we'll have these discussions. But again, I want to stress this because it's not just semantics. If you don't name the enemy and identify the enemy, you can't defeat the enemy, because it's not just a matter of bombing people. It's ideologies we're dealing with. And when you're going to have some candidate say that the reason for terrorism worldwide is global warming, and the thought that that person could be running for president and potentially, I mean, that's a long shot, ridiculously long shot, but potentially could be the commander-in-chief of the Armed Forces of America. Yikes, with a capital A. Yeah, that was a Bernie Sanders comment. But of course, Hillary Clinton in the presidential debate would not, when asked directly, she would not say radical Islam, just like our president. And just like President Bush is saying it's a religion of peace, therefore radical Islam is not a real reflection of Islam. Oh, do what France is doing. Do what France is doing. Name it for what it is. Name it for what it is. And then go into the mosque where this is being taught and shut them down, or remove from your country those who are espousing these things. They are being espoused in mosques in America. Which mosques? I don't know. Some mosques for sure. And they should be monitored. And those mosques who are espousing a radical, destructive, violent ideology should be shut down. Or those leaders should be deported from America for inciting terrorism. 866-348-7884. And that is the careful balancing act we have to do right now to welcome legitimate refugees who are fleeing from terror, as opposed to those who are fleeing to export terror, to open our borders as much as we can in a sane way so that people can be rightly incorporated into our culture and become fully American and be part of our culture, as opposed to fighting against it. Here, a real simple principle I have. If you want to fight against us, then don't come to our country. America has no business welcoming anyone who wants to tear down our country. 866-34-TRUTH. Got a bunch more to talk about, some articles to share with you, and I'll take your calls as well. How do we handle the refugee situation? Acting with Christian compassion to those genuinely fleeing who need what we have, whereas at the same time, we do not open our doors to terrorists. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let's just see here. 81% on my Twitter poll say radical Islam is a true expression of Islam. 19% say it is not. Again, we just posted this a few minutes ago and 64 votes so far. We're much more active on Facebook than on Twitter, but we're active on Twitter, so good to get these responses. 866-348-7884. Just a word about Islamic theology, then I'll go to the phones. Islamic theology divides the world into two categories. There's Dar al-Islam, there's the world of Islam, and there's Dar al-Harb, the world of the sword or the world at war. So Islam is in a war with the rest of the world. Whatever territories have come under Islamic control now will come under Islamic laws, Islamic custom, Islamic tradition, and that is part of Dar al-Islam, the world of Islam. And even building mosques and things like that is a sign of conquest. We have now taken ground. We have taken more territory here, all right? And that's the only reason that mosques are built. I'm not saying that, but it is a statement that is being made as mosques are built in different places where Islam has spread its influence. And of course, with the call for prayer during the day, you hear it's broadcasting itself loud and clearly into a community. So at the same time, there is war with the non-believing world. And it's an ideological war, but often it's a physical war. Now, you might say, well, yeah, Christians believe that the whole world is under the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19, that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that unbelievers, their father is the devil, John 8:44. Yeah, we may have that spiritual viewpoint, so there's a spiritual battle to set people free, but the war we engage in is a spiritual war. And even if, let's say you had a nation that was predominantly Christian, and then it was invaded by another nation wanting to rape our women and kill our children. So we fought back against them. Yes, we would be fighting for our values. We would be fighting for our freedom. We would be fighting for our safety, for our nation. Yes, but we would not be thinking if we conquer them, then Christianity is now conquering them, and now we extend Christianity by the sword. Whereas Islam, if it won a battle like that, would now say it is taken land for Allah. This is part of holy war. 866-34-TRUTH. Can you understand the difference? And again, a simple point we often make that Islam was first and for, excuse me, Muhammad was first a spiritual leader, then a political leader, then a military leader. And whereas Muhammad famously decapitated, beheaded hundreds of Jewish captives who had surrendered to him, either he did it himself or he ordered it, or ordered it and did some himself. But this is a well-known example from his life. Whereas Muhammad beheaded people, Jesus was crucified and told his followers not to fight back. Therefore, you can derive a certain violent theology from Islam that you cannot derive from Christianity. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. All right, we've reconnected with Justin in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thanks for getting me back on.
Yes, sir.
Let me take this opportunity to kind of get this out of the way. I'm a liberal, and I'll be voting for Bernie Sanders. Well, with that said, when I saw the attack on Paris, I was a little depressed as soon as I saw my fellow liberals going into a game of semantics, trying to sort of distance Islam from this atrocity. And I found it really difficult to accept that being liberal for some means that they just have to accept just about everything except any ideology that might be promoted by Europeans or white people. So, for instance, what I've observed these days is liberals tend to jump on any bad idea provided it's Christian-based, almost as if that only white people have a monopoly on bad ideas. And I think that's toxic. I think that this is what's going to sort of lead us to the abyss if we keep turning a blind eye on obvious, terrible things going on and being unable to truly identify them for what they are. And that's sort of where I kind of distance myself from some liberal tenets.
So let me ask you a question, Justin, and I don't want to get sidetracked on today's show with this, but
sure.
But I must ask, okay? And we'll have to continue the discussion. I may jump in and cut it short at a certain point because I want to stay on focus here. But you sound like a thinking man. You are not just going to drink the liberal Kool-Aid, even though you identify as a liberal. So for the life of me, I don't mean any insult by this.
Please
understand. But for the life of me, I can't understand why you would want to vote for Bernie Sanders when, I mean, if he's going to blame worldwide terrorism on global warming, I mean, that's one of the most bizarre statements I've ever heard. And it just seems so way out. I mean, his radical pro-abortion stance and things. I mean, what about sanctity of life in the womb? So you must have. So, again, I don't mean to insult you. It's only because
I am not.
Good. I'm only asking because you're obviously a thinking person. A compliment. All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. These are very good questions, and I'm not offended one bit. I mean, you have to ask these questions. So why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders is this. His push for socialism, it makes sense. If you consider that a lot of the public infrastructure and public amenities we enjoy actually come from socialism. We don't want to call it socialism, but these are what they are. So I believe Bernie Sanders, he has the right idea as far as how we should use our tax money. Our tax money, in my personal opinion, shouldn't go to building weapons upon weapons or tools of destruction. Our tax money should actually go into fixing our infrastructure, bolstering our education, and trying to improve the life of an American.
Just real quick, can you give me an example of a nation where socialism has really worked well?
Oh, that is easy. You go to Sweden, you go to any Scandinavian nation, they are far superior as far as the standard of living. And why is that? Because they've actually figured out how to use their taxation to work for the citizens.
And you would say they're socialists more than they're capitalists, in your view?
So, okay, capitalism and socialism don't have to be mutually exclusive. One ensures innovation and one ensures a solid infrastructure. There is no reason why they both can't exist together. And that's why I think it's really unfortunate that people have this mentality that it's either one or the other. There is no reason why they are at odds with each other.
Got it. All right. Well, tell you what. Just to jump in. As I said, I might have to jump in, but maybe when I discuss some of these issues another day, some of the economic issues, some of the larger issues in socialism and capitalism, hopefully you'll be listening and you can call in. So again, I said I was probably going to have to interrupt, or I might have to, just to stay on topic. But I wanted to hear why, and I appreciate what you had to say. And obviously, you've thought about these issues. So this is a discussion to be continued, all right? But thank you for weighing in, and thanks for raising the points you raised. On another day, if it was more wide-ranging, we'd stay on this more, but I've got to just stay on the Islamic issue now. But thank you, sir, for the call and the comment. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mary in Orem, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello, Mary. Mary's gone. Well, Mary's question is similar to one that I was just asked on Twitter. How do we differentiate between those people and the ones seeking refuge from them? The Lord loves the sojourner, Deuteronomy 10:18. That's the whole thing. We have to find out how to differentiate. And what do you do? Let me ask you this. If you got a 10-year-old kid and they want to have a sleepover with their other 10-year-old friends, and you've got this big room downstairs, you can put mattresses on the floor, and your daughter can have 10 friends over. And one of them, you're not sure, but you think that one of the 10, you just don't know which one, that one of the 10 has a serious illness. You've heard that there's a serious contagious illness, could be fatal, that's going around. Do you invite everybody? do not invite anybody until you can know who's who. I would say as a parent, you would say, we can't have the party until we find out who's got this contagious illness. Would you agree? So the same way, we must figure out. I know our president has said we're rigorous in terms of who gets in. I honestly don't think we're a fraction as rigorous as we need to be. Now, here's where the church can get involved. The church can work with organizations like World Relief and others that are, and I mentioned World Relief because of the Christians I was with in Winston-Salem yesterday. That's who they've worked with. They can work with these organizations and work with specific families that they adopt and bring in, and then they can heavily influence them with the love of God and the truth of the gospel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I'm gonna go through things as rapidly as I can between now and the end of the hour. So while all the terrorist attacks were taking place, in France on Friday, in Israel, a Jewish father and son were murdered by Palestinian terrorists as they were on their way to a wedding event in Othniel, Israel. You didn't hear about that one in the midst of the massive tragic attacks in France. And we need to be praying for France, not just in light of this, but France has really been a godless nation, a secular nation in many, many ways. And it has really needed the gospel and awakening for many, many decades. So let's be interceding for comfort and help in the midst of these tragedies and for the French people to look to the Lord. The Religion of Peace website says since 9/11, Islamic terrorists have carried out more than 27,282 attacks. From November 7th to November 13th, 47 jihad attacks, 10 Allah Akbars, meaning suicide bombs, suicide bombers crying out Allahu Akbar, 392 dead bodies, and 906 critically injured. Oh, gosh. And we don't want to acknowledge radical Islam from the bully pulpit of the White House. Think of what good could be done if we would do that, and how it would affect our intelligence strategies and everything else. All right, a few other things. I mentioned this the first hour. Let me repeat it. For those who say, no, the Quran, Surah 5, verse 32, it says that whoever saves one soul is if he saves the whole world. Whoever kills one soul, an innocent person, is if he kills the whole world. And Muslims constantly quote that. Our president quoted it in a speech in Cairo when he first came into office some years back. No. That's not what it says. It says that this is what Allah gave to the Jewish people. It's a quote actually from Jewish tradition, from the Talmud. This is what Allah gave to the Jewish people. This is not what Allah gave to the Muslims. This is what he gave to the Jewish people. That's what it says. This is what he gave to the children of Israel. What did he give to the Muslim people? Chapter 5, verse 33, the next verse. The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and strive to make mischief in the land is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides, or they should be imprisoned. This shall be as a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter they shall have a grievous chastisement. How about getting the truth out? And my appreciation to David Wood. My appreciation to David Wood for getting out a video on that apologist, David Wood. And we shot that out on Twitter as well. All right, let's just see. So, again, first few minutes, this first almost 100 votes, 84% of those weighing in say radical Islam is a true expression of Islam, and 16% say it is not. There's an article I'm looking at, The Problem with Moderate Muslims. It is written by Hussein Abu Bakr. And he himself would identify with being a moderate Muslim. He said, to deny the existence of moderate Muslims is beyond any reasonable doubt an anti-Muslim prejudice. Not only that, but it's most certainly destructive to any efforts to counter Islamic terrorism. A world with no moderate Muslims is inconceivable. And he's got lengthy quotes on the Al Jazeera website from Ani Zonneveld, a Malaysian-born Muslim, okay? And it is a piece of self-criticism from a Muslim. He said it is sincere, genuine, authentic, and above all, it is unbiased and is the work of a moderate Muslim. And the problem is, he's saying that even among moderate Muslims, you have human rights abuses. This writer says, in my childhood, I was told that every day that passes on the Islamic nation without a caliphate is a sin, that the failures and miseries of the Muslim world start at the moment we gave up conquests and wars against the infidels, that our prosperity depends on conquering new lands, converting new believers, looting new resources, and enslaving more women. I was taught that a Jew is essentially a demon in flesh, and that it is our destiny as good Muslims to kill them all. I was regularly fueled by battle stories and stories of the lethal feuds of 7th century Arabia. It was not just me, a small child in Cairo, who was raised with these great apocalyptic prophecies. It was also so many people from around the globe. So we've got to recognize with what ideology many Muslims are being infused around the world today. We must not go into denial about it. We do it to our own harm, to our own lasting danger. You stick your head in the sand today, you may end up losing your head tomorrow. Also, an article by Noah Beck came out about 11 days ago, covering terrorism against Israelis, an idiot's guide. There was a video that came out saying, what if the world reported terrorist attacks against Western nations the way it reports terrorist attacks against Israel? Because we've demonstrated headlines, even recent headlines, older headlines. BBC's had a famous history of doing this, but American newspapers and news outlets have done it as well. Whereas let's say you have two Palestinian terrorists attack a synagogue, and they, in cold blood, as they did a year ago at Har Nof in Jerusalem, murdered four rabbis as they prayed in the morning in their synagogue, and then they are killed by security forces. So you'll see six dead in attack in Israel. The first report even said it was in a mosque. Six dead in attack in Israel. Or two Muslims killed in attack in Israel. As opposed to Muslims slaughter four Jews in cold blood and are then shot dead. Muslim terrorists do this. So Noah Beck has published a useful article covering terrorism against Israelis, an idiot's guide. He said, your job is to report facts, not reinforce the narrative. You know, you could have said nine Muslims killed 9/11, whatever the total number, nine Muslims killed, as opposed to over 3,000 Americans killed in Islamic terrorist attacks. That's the point he's making. Your job is to report facts, not reinforce the narrative. Remember that the weaker party can be wrong. Properly identify the terrorist and the victim when reporting on casualties. Do your homework on this region. Learn the history of this conflict enough to know that Pallywood, meaning Palestinian media, has been actively deceiving journalists for at least 15 years now in an effort to delegitimize Israel. And on it goes. Very, very useful article. Covering terrorism against Israelis, an idiot's guide. All right, friends, we're out of time, but I've got time for one very important announcement. The key to the strength of our nation, the key to the strength of our nation is that we have revival in the church, that God's people wake up, and as we wake up, we have an awakening effect on the nation. My two resources this week are very timely. My book, co-authored with Pastor John Kilpatrick and editor Larry Sparks, The Fire That Never Sleeps, Keys to Personal Awakening. And then the Revival Answer Book, How to Be Discerning in the Midst of Revival Movements. And my CD message, Holy Desperation, which will create a burning fire in your heart for revival. All three for just $20 postage paid. Go to AskDrBrown.org to find out more. My bottom line today, if we stick in our heads in the sand today to Islamic terror, we might lose our heads to Islamic terror tomorrow.